This is a production of Cornell University.
EA meeting, November 17th, 2010.
Good afternoon, everyone. It is Wednesday, November 17th, the Employee Assembly meeting. It is 12:20 p.m., and we're going to get started. Any late additions to the agenda for today? Okay, then we'll launch right into our business of the day. And before we start, I just want to let everyone know that we have some folks here from the Cornell Chronicle who are going to be writing an article about the middle states. So we've got a reporter here and we have a photographer. So just wanted to let everyone know that. And we can jump right into talking about the middle states accreditation program. Marin, okay.
So I plan to go through this very quickly. Are you the one who makes these things go? Okay.
I can.
So, well, hang on just a sec. So we're here to talk about Cornell's reaccreditation process, and just to give you an overview of it, I'm not going to talk about it in detail in the minutes that we have. I don't know how many minutes we have allotted to it, really, but I just intend to give a very quick overview and to let you know about the existence of that is now available online that you can download. So go ahead and advance the slide. The university is accredited by a regional accreditor, as are all the universities across the United States. Accreditation, university-wide accreditation is done this way, handled by regional accrediting bodies, and ours is called Middle States. We get reaccredited every 10 years. The accreditation process has changed since the last time around, and that's had implications for how this process has evolved and over this two-year period that we've been working on it. Right now, we're looking at 14 standards for accreditation. Accreditation covers the entire institution. This covers WILE. It covers all the programs that also have professional accreditation, specialized accreditation, like business and landscape design and many other professional programs, architecture. A lot of those professional accreditations have to do with licensing, so that students can get licenses when they graduate. Institution-wide accreditation is a requisite for us to receive federal financial aid, so it's an important thing. Technically, it's voluntary. But if we want financial aid money, then we have to advance the slide. So there are 14 standards for accreditation. They cover sort of the breadth of things that a good university should do. We've grouped the 14 standards in ways the numbers are quite in sequence here because we've grouped them for how we wanted to approach the work. So some of it has to do with institutional stewardship. Do we have an endowment? Are we handling our money in responsible ways? Is there a good audit trail? That sort of thing. Some of it has to do with what we would think of the core of the university, our educational offerings of the faculty and so on. There is, in the change between 2001 and 2011, there's an increasing emphasis on assessment, meaning a focus on the outputs of the university rather than the inputs. So accreditation used to be much more input-oriented. Do we have books in the library, money in the bank, qualified faculty, and so on? The focus now has shifted to output. This assessment in the lower right corner, assessment of student learning, is a biggie. How do we know that we're teaching Cornell students anything? And that's a huge question that's very hard to answer. There's also one in the upper left-hand corner, institutional assessment, which is how do we monitor the health of the university. If you advance the slide, we, as I mentioned, we organized ourselves to approach the problem of how do we write about these 14 different standards. We organized ourselves into six working groups, and here they are. There are a large number of people involved in the accreditation process. So the steering committee, Alan Matthews and Kent Hubble here are the co-chairs of the steering committee. There is, I'm the... I should have introduced myself. I'm the Director of Institutional Research and Planning, but for this purpose, I am the accreditation liaison officer for the university, meaning that all the questions relating to our accreditation with Middle States go through me, and I'm on the steering committee as well, as are all the chairs of the working groups. There's advanced one more slide, and a handful of other people. And we've got some wonderful people on there, Susan Murphy, Bill Fry, my boss, Elmira Mangum. We've had a graduate student and one undergraduate student at a time. There are two, but one graduated early, so we had to replace him, two on the slide. But this represents the involvement of the steering committee. Each of the working groups had a number of members between, I don't know, 6 and maybe 13 or 14, I think, on one of them. If we could advance the slide. I started in the accreditation process by going to a workshop in November of 2008, and we are now looking at the end game here, so this has been a long haul. We're now in the point of our timeline where we're sharing the draft of the institutional self-study with campus constituencies. So we're going around to all the assemblies to, perhaps today we're going to the university assembly and so on, to share the news that we have a draft and share an invitation for folks to read it and provide feedback to us. December 17th, we're having a visit from our evaluation team chair. So we have external folks that are going to come onto our campus in March. This is headed up by a chair, and I'll talk about her in a minute. She will come to campus and meet with small groups of people to prepare for her visit in March. The final deadline for this document is February 1st, so we have a while to work on revising it, and we just were in this room and 20 minutes ago, 30 minutes ago, trying to make editorial changes and so on to the document. So we invite you to provide feedback. If you go to the next slide. The accreditation, I think, can very easily come off as the impression that it's a bureaucratic process, that we're jumping through hoops and somebody else is peering in to see if we're a fine institution. But Middle States is very conscientious in trying to convey the message that this exercise is primarily about our need to learn about ourselves. So they mandate we go through this exercise, but they see that the audience for the self-study is the university. Similarly, if you advance the slide, the purpose of the self-study is to advance institutional self-understanding and self-improvement. So they're going to make us do it, but they're going to make us do it for our own good. go to the next slide. When we started this, we are, you know, sort of bound to this 10-year schedule that we have to go through this exercise every 10 years. At the same time that this process started was when the financial crisis hit the university and everyone else, and there was suddenly a new institutional need to engage in these kinds of activities, really, self-examination and what can we do better and so on at the same time. I think if we had chosen, you know, when the financial crisis would hit, we wouldn't have done it at the same time as we were doing accreditation, because there is this overlap in purpose and goals and so on. A more normal path is that you do the institutional self-study, and then on the basis of what you've learned, you've come up with strategic plans. But we did both at the same time. So we started self-study first, then the strategic plan started and ended, and now we're going to close the self-study. But in fact, the two processes were as integrated as we could make them be, and that sort of happened organically, in the sense that we were doing stuff, they leveraged what we did, they did stuff, we leveraged what they did, and so on. So there is a relationship between the two. So go to the next slide. As I mentioned, the self-study is now online. If you go to cornell.edu and type Middle States, you know, after the slash, you'll be directed to a web page. On the left side, down at the bottom, documentation, and you can find the draft of our self-study there. I think since the time that I mocked this slide up, we now have the self-study available in separate chapters, so you don't have to download a single 250-page document in one fell swoop. You can sort of take it one chunk at a time. And the next slide. As I mentioned, there were 6 working groups, and the work of the 6 working groups actually resulted in 7 core chapters. because institutional stewardship, which is Chapter 3, peeled off institutional assessment and made it a separate chapter, Chapter 9. But those seven, chapters 3 through 9, represent really the meaty part of the institutional self-study. The first chapter is sort of a primer on the university for those who haven't, because our team is going to be external, sort of an introduction to the university. So we're in at 230 pages. If you go to the way the standards are organized, if there's specific kinds of topics that you are interested in, hopefully you can identify them in a more focused way. In the next slide, as I mentioned, assessment has been a big deal. It has been represented a change in how we think about teaching and learning. It's primarily a shift away from are we good teachers to are the students learning things. And that has changed a lot about the university, but I'm not going to dwell on it right now. It's changed. There's been a lot of initiatives to sort of meet Standard 14, the criteria for Standard 14. If you change the slide. One of the outcomes of this is that we established learning outcomes for Cornell. So these are things that we want Cornell students to learn, and this was the first time we were to really articulated what those things should be. These are on the provost webpage under assessment. So it was a good exercise to articulate those. If you switch again, the goal of the self-study is to improve the university for self-improvement and self-understanding. We are asked not to just sort of describe how the university operates, but to make an assessment and to make recommendations for the future of room for improvement. Those recommendations are things that we will be held accountable for in 5 years, which is an interim report where we write to Middle States and say, here's what we're doing that we said we would do. We don't necessarily have to execute all of these things, but we have to respond to our plan. Here's what we said we would do. There are recommendations at the end of each one of the substantive chapters. So if you go to the next slide, is an example of how Chapter 4, which is about integrity, governance, and administration, that has three major sections and some subsections. Recommendations falls at the end of that chapter. Recommendations fall in a systematic way at the end of each one of those seven chapters. So if there's something that you want to just sort of go to the bottom line and see what is it that the committee is recommending, things that will be held accountable for, you could go to the end of the chapters and read that section. Okay. In 2011, and at the end of March, we will be having this site visit from this external team. The chair is the Dean of Arts and Sciences at Penn. We've been in communication with her, and in fact, she's already started her journey of getting to know Cornell. She's received this draft, even though there are many improvements to it that we know we'd already like to make. She has, as I mentioned, this accreditation covers the whole university, and Cornell is not only big and complex, but it's far-flung. So she has already visited a executive MBA classroom, which is done with video conferencing technology and convenes in the Cornell Club. She's already visited that class and talked with the students that are enrolled there. She'll be visiting another executive MBA video conferencing class in Washington, D.C. soon. She will be going to Singapore and visiting Nanyang University, where we have a management in master's in management and hospitality program in a joint arrangement. But the big visit that we're preparing for will transpire over the course of 3 days. In March, Monday through Wednesday. So they arrive on Sunday afternoon. Please go to the next slide. The evaluation team, I think that's 8 folks that are on there. So we have representation from some Ivies, Penn, and Princeton. We asked specifically for a land grant. You can't name the folks that you want to have, but you can name the kinds of folks you want to have. And so we said we want somebody from a land grant school. We want somebody from an Ivy, we want somebody who's got experience in the medical college, and so on. So here's our team, and we're all set to go with that and move forward. We can go to the next slide. Just to give you a sense of what that looks like, the committee actually comes and they work their, they work hard. They actually write the report that is their response to our big report while they are here. So they write it in the evenings, and you hear stories about people staying up all night to write these reports. So they'll meet with the chair and the president. The chair of the evaluation team, Rebecca Bushnell, will meet with the president and the provost every day. They will have, they will set an agenda of who they want to talk to. So they're going to read this and they're going to say, sounds like it'd be really interesting to talk to the employee assembly, or it would be really interesting to talk to the German department or whatever. And they'll let us know who they want to talk to when they get here. Or if they have unresolved questions, you know, they need to talk to the police chief or whatever it is. And so that will evolve over time, but they spend their time here with just back-to-back meetings and conversations. And there are eight of them, and so it's not eight of them and one person. Those eight will go in different directions, and there'll be a lot of different meetings going on. And then on Wednesday, the last day of their visit, in the afternoon, they will essentially tell us what the deal is, what the bottom line is, did we pass, or what are the things that we need to improve. If you go to the last slide, people say, gosh, is there any chance that Cornell would not be reaccredited? And I think the answer to that is, of course not. It will be. We will be reaccredited. But in fact, there's various gradations of being reaccredited. So if you pass with flying colors, I suppose it would be possible to not even receive any suggestions. They would just say, gosh, you're fabulous. But the final report will most likely make some suggestions, which are things that we may or may not choose to act on. I personally would lay my money, if I were a betting person, on recommendations, and that requires that we will take action and report back in some time period. And then the form of that report, I'm sort of going in the progress letter area myself, but and the reason that I think that we'll be in this category is that the assessment of student learning piece is something that we've moved on only very recently, and it would look, one could come away with the impression that we're doing it just for accreditation and that they would want to make sure that we've got a sustained commitment in place moving forward. So it's likely that we'll get a progress letter. It's something like 2/3 of schools come away with that kind of action. It's better if you don't have these, you know, I spend a lot of time working on accreditation over these past 2 years. These guys have, a lot of folks have, we would like to get away without having to talk to them for another 5 years, but it seems likely we'll have to report back. And I think that brings us to the end of the, there's one more slide. If you have any comments about when you go after this meeting and download this thing and read it through, feel free to contact any of us with your comments, and you can share them through that very easy email address. And that is it in a very quick nutshell.
Question.
Do you foresee any issues when they come here to visit?
I think the assessment of student learning is the biggest thing. But I think, I mean, on the one hand, we could say that we're confident because we're an excellent institution. On the other hand, we're being evaluated by our peers. It's not like we're, you know, bringing in folks from an entirely different class of institutions. But I think that that works in our favor as well, because they are going to understand that, you know, like Penn is also a very large, complex, decentralized, so I think there's going to be a certain amount of sympathy with, and how difficult it is to get, you know, faculty to sign on to the agenda of student assessment and so on.
I think one of, not a huge concern, but that as they talk with people, they'll get to choose who they talk with, and if we make, if there's general, if let's say we talk with random faculty about assessments or learning, we're trying to get learn to stay learn goals in every syllabus that's for every course that's offered. If there's this notion that none of the faculty are even aware that this is going on, that will be a disconnect with the, what we've written here about how much we've been working on it. So there's a sense of how we communicate to the community about where we are and what we're doing. I think that's a very important part of this. So one of the valuable things of going to the assemblies and is get people aware so that when you're approached and you're on these meetings with them, that there's an awareness of what's going on.
Following up on that, are there particular parts of the report that are more pertinent to staff that we should point out?
I think the chapter on institutional stewardship, one of the great university resources is, of course, human resources. And so there is some explicit discussion of that. I think that would be chapter 3. And, you know, the things that we have in place to protect and steward human resources. Yeah, chapter 3.
But, you know, we would invite your reflections on the document. If you think there are things that are important for us to include about the life and times of the staff at Cornell in this era, let us know.
And actually, I should mention chapter 4 because that's where the university assembly are mentioned explicitly and what is their role and should that be improved.
And in the front section, when we sort of set the stage, Cornell, we talk about the administrative streamline. We talk about the fiscal crisis and what, how Cornell dealt with that and its approach. So if as staff who's in some sense have been most impacted by the administrative streamline issues, if that representation just doesn't seem right, that those are the types of things that would be valuable feedback.
Any other questions?
What is the date you're looking to receive feedback on?
I would hope to have feedback by, let's say the beginning of December would be great.
Okay.
Yeah. This final thing will go to them February 1st this year.
We have a EA newsletter that goes out to all staff, and we'll be sure to include this in there. And the link.
Great.
It may not be by the first of December, but soon after.
That's fine.
We also learn a lot about the university by sort of.
It's
actually an amazing learning experience going through this. So if you're sort of just generically interested in seeing the institution as a whole. It sort of has all in there.
It's been a very educational process.
Is this available? Did you mention that it's available outside of Cornell?
Yep. And that's not mandated, but we need that. We have.
At this point, it's only available based on Cornell ID.
No.
Oh, it's
just out there. Mm-hmm.
Okay.
Thank you for all your hard work.
So, that's draft. Sorry, I'm going to.
Yes.
So the public can view this draft?
Yep.
And how much do you think it'll change before you said it has to be turned in by January?
Yes. End of January. It will change.
Yeah.
I don't think that that we're wrong, and I don't think that there's going to be major departures. I mean, I don't think we've, you know, lied or been misleading or anywhere, but
a lot of the additions.
Yeah,
right.
We've been discussing additions. Yeah.
So do we get like a final draft when this entire process is complete in 2011?
Yep.
Yeah,
we'll try and get the
Chronicle right
about that.
Yeah, and the timetable to get this draft up and operational sort of pushed us a little quicker in some sense than, so some of the fine tuning of even the language and things is stuff that we're doing.
Well, thank you for your time.
Thank you.
And for lunch, too.
Thank you.
Actually, I'm going to be just giving you a presentation since I'm going to be doing it.
Oh, okay.
There you
go.
Some written essay on it.
Yep.
There you go. I'm wondering if we should make sure that somebody on the EA actually looked at this thing.
Yeah.
Because I'm never really quite sure why they're here as far as it pertains to staff. I thought your question was a good one.
Well, I think that they're describing the university, they're describing the work that we do. I think it's completely relevant to us. And they're also describing, particularly now that they're using the strategic plan as part of it, we are a part of that strategic plan, too. So it may not sound on the surface like it's relevant. It absolutely affects the work that we do and the work that all of us do as staff. So I think it's really important that we stay engaged with it.
Yeah, I do too. But I don't think that is clear when they're here. It seems like they're doing a drive by to check something off, and it's off the record. Thanks. And anyways, I'm willing to look at this.
Right, they could gear it more towards how it impacts.
To whatever their audience is.
Right, whatever their audience.
The staff. I mean, it just seems very student and faculty centric to me.
Mm-hmm.
And I would just like to know why they want staff input for what they're looking for.
I think they're just trying to be diligent. I mean, we are in there. And, the university governance piece includes a lot about the assemblies and questions the effectiveness of all the assemblies, which we have those questions too. And so it's worth reading and just seeing if you agree.
Mm-hmm. So can people plan to take a look at it? Maybe we can put that on our agenda to talk about chapters 3 and 4 at our next meeting.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Alan had also mentioned the instruction that he thought that mm-hmm. it kind of sets it up too.
Mm-hmm. But they've known from the beginning that the biggest issue is going to be student assessment.
Mm-hmm. So yes, they have.
Yeah,
they've been talking
kind of
about
minimizing
that. Mm-hmm. And this occurs every 5 years?
10.
Every 10. Mm-hmm. But every 5 is like a
check in.
Mm-hmm. Okay. It's like a 3-year process. It started in 2009. It doesn't end until next year. So it's not like a quick 3-day visit and it's over.
Anything else about middle space before we move on? All right. The next piece is I emailed everyone late last week. For those of you who were on the assembly last year, this may be somewhat old news for you, but prior to this year, we had the role of the executive vice chair and the communications chair as one position, and that seemed pretty like a pretty large job. So at the end of last term, the assembly met and we voted to separate those two positions, and we never got that to the president. That never got translated up to him. So to be fair to the fact that a new assembly is convened, who may see things the same or differently, I wanted to bring back what you wrote this last year, right? Did you write it? I think.
Parts of it,
I don't know. I think you wrote it, but we wrote a resolution to separate the two positions, and that's how we've been running this year unofficially. So if everyone can just take a look at that, I don't know if anybody's had a chance to, if anybody has any questions or concerns about it. We can't vote today, but we will vote on it at our next meeting to formally separate the two positions or to put them back together. And I don't know if Leslie can speak to how
it's
been. We're
going to hire one person. We just
yes.
We can pretend for now until he gets mad.
We have been operating separately, and I don't know if you have any thoughts to that, if that seems to be working or not, or
not knowing differently because I wasn't involved last year, it's working for me.
Do you think with the amount that you have to do for the EA right now, if you were to add that whole other component?
It would be a lot.
And do you feel like it's a good manageable load being two separate?
Yeah.
Anyone else have questions, concerns, thoughts? David, you could speak from last year, what it was like last year.
Yeah. You guys are happy. Trust me.
You did it for them.
Did we decide if the communications chair was going to be part of the executive committee? Or was that kept out?
I think that was kept out. It wasn't part of the executive committee. It was two separate.
It really shouldn't be, right? I mean,
it's a chair just like every other.
Okay. Well, I still think it's a good idea.
All right. Well, plan to be here for the next meeting and we'll vote on it. Membership expansion. So just to update a little bit, Leslie and I met with Ari and Peggy a little bit about the EA expansion and where we're going with it and how it's going. And just talking about some of the things that were of concern about trying to branch out and have membership in each different unit of the university, trying to target a specific person for each individual unit, and did that really make sense, and looking at the fact that the UA is going a different way. And we wanted to throw out another idea of not targeting people by specific unit or organization, but simply adding more members and have them be at-large members. So we would have, the makeup would be, say, what did we say, six exempt, six non-exempt, and then six at-large.
Plus
Geneva. This way, we will enlarge the EA, which is something that we've wanted to do to get more people helping out, but we're not trying to target specific units. I know that doesn't fit perfectly with part of the goal of trying to get input from each area of campus? Yeah.
I just had an idea. I don't mean to interrupt you, but what if we had our 33 people, just random people, and, like, let's say my responsibility was, like, Kales, and I would go to Kales and be like, you know, I've taken it upon myself to represent you in the EA, meet with whoever, the deans. Mm-hmm. Whatever. You know what I mean? So we don't have to have a member from Kales. We can represent them and meet with them and see what they're interested in and discuss it ourselves.
Right, and I think that's yes, everybody's got their little market kind of thing. So I know that this is kind of divergent from where we were going, but I wanted to throw that out there to people.
You said, I'm just reading
something. Go ahead.
You said the UA was going in a different direction. What do you mean by that?
Ari, do you want to talk about the new UA model?
Yeah. Well, it's not set in stone yet, but there's a meeting tonight which might actually set it in that direction. Instead of having an emphasis on trying to compose a committee or assembly of all the members of campus, seems to be impossible. I mean, if you have somebody from each of those constituencies, that doesn't necessarily mean that they're able to represent every viewpoint coming from there. Have the emphasis on wider notice of what the assembly is actually doing so that people can come to the assembly when they have feedback about a particular issue. So it's, instead of trying to get all of the representation through the membership side, trying to get all of the interests in particular issues at the meeting. So somebody might have an interest, let's say, in this accreditation issue, but might otherwise not be interested enough to come in and play assembly meetings. If they know what's going on with the assembly, then they have that incentive to come to the meeting where they have something to say.
But how are they how are they getting that message out any differently than they have in the past?
Well, we're talking about some tools with university communications to like use feed, get it on certain websites. Possibly doing things in some Cornell's publication or news. letter streams to have like a place where you can look to find out what's going on when you send release next week or next month. But the principal obligation on the assembly would be to have an agenda out sooner. I think, you know, if, how much sooner is a question that can be left open and dealt with over time. But, you know, if you have the agenda out 2 weeks before a meeting, that gives people a lot more time to find out about it and understand the issue, which makes it more likely to come to the meeting and have something to And this idea came from a few different sources. The first one that comes to mind is Tommy Bruce, who was taking this model from how a good government agency, when they make policies, there's this notion of a notice and comment period, some fixed period of time where if the government wants to do something, it has to let anybody in the public comment on it for 1 month, 2 months. Mm-hmm. Not talking about that kind of timeline, but having that notice part is something that we just haven't talked about before, and seems like a really good way to address that representative issue.
With the proposed model that you just mentioned, are we dropping the endowed and statutory component, though?
Mm-hmm. Yes. Mm-hmm. We still felt it was important to keep exempt and non-exempt seats open, but getting rid of the state and endowed. And since the university seems to be trying to move more towards a blended organization in that way, we didn't think we needed those. Do you want to chime in anything?
I don't think there's anything. I mean, when we met with Ari and Peggy, there were sort of three takeaways. One was there is a need to have more members, and some of that is driven by the amount of work that we have as a group and that we keep being asked to do. There's also, so that's number one. Number two is a need to possibly, if we can, reduce the number of committees that we have so that we're streamlining the work. So are there redundancies between and among some of the committees and really examining that and making some decisions about the types of committees that we have. And then the third is what Ari was talking about getting ourselves more involved perhaps in policy decisions that are HR related in particular, since that's really the area that we focus on, which would mean working with Mary differently. And we haven't talked with her about this yet. We have talked with her about the idea of the 3-3-3 plus one, and she likes that idea. We haven't talked about the rest of it with her yet. Jason?
My concern is going to be that with it all at large, essentially it almost all is, getting people interested to run for seats. And the previous model broke the campus up into geographical slices, mm-hmm. and then focused on those slices and said, you come up with someone to run for your slice. If you don't, your slice is going to be left out.
Is that how you chose to run? Based on a slice of the campus? When you decided that you wanted to run for employee assembly?
Previous model.
I'm sorry. I misunderstood. I thought you were talking about the way we're currently structured.
No. I'm talking about the previously proposed.
Sorry. The 30 per unit node.
Yeah.
Model.
I'm really concerned about how we're going to get the outreach out there and impact. I mean, I'm very happy that the last few terms of the EA has been fully seated. But it hasn't always been the case,
right.
And it's been really rough getting people interested to know what the employee assembly does. I mean, it's one thing to know what we do, but then to get somebody to be a seat at our table is even another step beyond. I think going back to this, you know, more at large, I mean, whether exempt, non-exempt, although they really kind of all act as at large.
Right.
And I think we're just going to be taking a problem from the past and multiplying it times three. So I'm concerned about that.
Gary?
nothing to say. I mean, I beat that horse enough last year, and it's like, you know, I guess just tied it with what David said. I can't see going into someone's workplace and saying I'm representing you. I'd say, what are you talking about? You know, you don't know what I do. Mm-hmm. And but it doesn't matter. It really doesn't. I think it's it is what it is.
All right.
Yeah, just a comment. When Peggy and I met with Tanya and Leslie, one of the things that became apparent was the biggest challenge that the VA seems to be facing with membership right now are a lack of physical human resources, either some members not having enough time or not having enough members period to staff all the committees, keep on top of all the things that the VA is involved with or wants to be involved with. And what we were realizing was the membership model we had talked about before, and I had thought that this was a great model last year, so this was a change to my perspective of it. Is if you say only one person can come from the arts college, even though you might have four people from the arts college who are really interested and really able to bring service, and then you have a bunch of other units that don't bring anybody, that really doesn't help your staff as well. So what became apparent out of that conversation is maybe actually there needs to be more flexibility so that you very well may get at large people coming from every different corner of the campus, but if you don't happen to have, if you happen to have interested people who are from a cluster area, that does not necessarily mean that they won't be able to receive points of view from a broader campus community. It's just, you know, the broader campus community doesn't have to be seated on the assembly.
I think part of the, just in what you're saying there, part of the downfall is, yes, you can get four really interested people from the arts college, but what if you have equally three other or four other equally interested people from all over campus, but those four people in the arts college are more popular, therefore they get elected in those other points of view. The model that we were previously suggesting, the, you know, one person from each area, gives people a chance. You know, I'm just thinking there are some units that are much bigger and have, you know, they know more people kind of thing. So it's, I don't know, sometimes it's a popularity contest.
I'd like to add is what Ari said is I agree, we need to be bigger.
Mm-hmm.
We need to be bigger. I think 30 member body is good for us. But really the question is how do we get there?
Mm-hmm.
And where are those people going to come from? How are we, I mean,
I'm wondering if it needs to, if an incremental approach would be useful. I'm not, I don't want to pretend I would have feelings about it either way, but just sort of deciding if you did the sort of more of a kind of at large approach and really advertise engagement to the university more broader, that in itself will bring more attention to it, and then from there you can increase membership because you'll have more exposure. In other words, that may actually come to.
Well, and I don't think that this model eliminates the plans that we had put in place already for next semester, which were to go to meetings and talk about the employee assembly. We still can do that. We still should do that, because that's how we're going to get the word out, is to go and talk to the vet school, to go and talk to CALS or to whomever about the employee assembly, about how we are an active voice for staff on this campus, and how you can become a part of it. I think by doing that, we are still expanding our reach beyond where we are right now.
I would like to point out something. Are we getting any feedback or comments for the EA newsletter that they've been putting out to the public? And
get one or two comments usually each time.
And also the staff notes, is it the EA? Is it the
Yeah,
and I feel maybe it's getting more publicized in the room. So it shouldn't be a problem finding 31 candidates in the future. It may be a problem.
I worry about accountability. I mean, what I liked about that model is there was a level of accountability with it. You know who your representative is, and that person works with you. So it's really, and it's that person's job to relay what's also going on in the EA down and also relay concerns up. So the reason I like that model is because there's accountability both ways. I mean, now we, okay, well, we send out an EA news thing, but I mean, we're maybe getting one comment every time. And are we, you know, how many, we're not, this group is not bringing that much to the table from our the people we're supposed to be representing. So you times it by two, you've got 30 people who are not representing the people they're supposed to be representing. I think we really need to figure out how we're going to communicate down into the unit. And people, I'm sorry, but I don't see people coming to the meetings and saying, and we don't. I've been doing this for 2 years, and people don't come to the meetings and stand up and say, I can't park on a lot, and I can't get my bus to my office because it's not running on time, and whatever. You know, it's just not happening. So, I don't think that model is working.
Was your proposal to move it to 30? Was it 8? Wasn't it 24?
We talked about 6, 6, and 6, and then one more. So 19. So it would be slightly larger, but not as large. Which, that was just an arbitrary number that we kind of threw out there. And this was just, I mean, I just need to bring this back to the table to see what people are thinking, and it seems like there's mixed, which is, you know, I'm feeling the same way. So I think we need to talk about it some more.
But maybe there's something that, in what Celia says, is there some small step we can take?
Right.
I mean, maybe we don't have to do 33 next year. I mean, really, let's make a step to step somewhere.
Well,
we have to change the charter that way.
Yeah, the proposal, I think, to get rid of the statutory endowed distinction, which is another element of that, that it would just be exempt, non-exemption, at large, plus an EVA. is an incremental step, because it's basically the current system, but with space for a few more people. And the reasoning behind that is, if the biggest problem is not having enough people in the assembly to staff the committee and do the operations of the assembly, having less restrictive requirements and a few more spots seems like the best way to expand the membership. I think that the other model of, like, having each unit represented, that's not really, if there's a way that somebody can think of to do that incrementally, that would be great, but I can't see how that could be done incrementally. It would just be a dramatic shift. And if the big problem is not having enough people, it seems like that would actually work against it, because, you know, if you have four people interested in one unit and no people interested in another unit, then you end up with one representative and three people.
Unless you make the charter read that we go for these 33 nodes, and if no one from engineering runs for their seat, but there is someone else who has run and didn't win, they get seated in that seat for a one-year term. And then we still have the constituency, but we don't have a representative in that area, and we have to keep working on that area.
One incremental approach would be to figure out at the spring who still has term remaining on the EA. And what we kind of did this because we were going to structure it so that all of the EA wasn't all up for renewal, is that if you sit, for me, CIS kind of own entity, we cross that off because I have another
year
to go. So then you could incrementally add the units that are not at the table.
How would that affect the representatives right now? Because we have several representatives right now.
But I think they'll all, for the most part, they'll turn over, because you turn over this year, and so you're both hotel school, but you'll be off, so you're...
So that means she'll be done then for good. Under the current plan, if we went to the unit structure, because she could never run because I'm the hotel rep.
Right, yes, and, but only for one more year. Then the next year, your term would be up. You could both run and, you know, whoever wins. Celia and David are the both the same. So, but they're both off. You and Pemba are, but Pemba is done this year. So I think the duplication, at least at this moment in time, would be gone. I don't think we have anyone who's...
But I, yeah,
well, you could run.
Like, run to the
So, if people can keep thinking and gelling thoughts about this, I think I'd love for us at our next meeting to just come to a final decision on the way that we're going to go.
I'm sorry,
Can I just ask one quick revisit question? How did the university that we had the conversation with on the phone that was seemed like a good model, was that a representation?
UNC, the way they did theirs were by job classifications, right?
I can't remember. Solid blur.
There were job classifications, so everyone under an administrator title was represented by one person, everyone who was under. Yeah, there we'd have like 650 people. All right, well, anybody, right now we are a committee without a chair. Are we actually a non-committee? So if anybody wants to talk about that more, let me know.
Yeah, otherwise you're leaving it up to us to keep talking about
it. And Curtis. Curtis said he's willing to talk about it.
Have you decided that you have to make a change, or can you can the group decide to leave it the same for another year?
We can decide to leave it the same, but
that's a lot.
If not now, when? Right, Gary?
A lot of momentum to sweep under the rug.
President Gorton did say he's glad for increasing it.
Yeah, and he is. And I would be glad to see us.
Just jumping ahead here a little bit, speaking of President Gorton, is our December 3rd meeting with him. Could that be a really serious talking point with him to say, look, we had a plan, now we've got new ideas, we're struggling on where to go, you came from a university that you applauded their assembly's structure, can you give us any wisdom of guidance of which nudged direction we should go in?
You hear Amy?
No.
Go ahead, Amy, speak.
We've asked him that before. It's come up many, many, many times with him. And he just leaves it to you all to decide. He's not going to give you any.
I've never heard that conversation.
Works it out.
Well, so I will pose the question to him, see if he will spend some time talking about that with us. And if he comes back and says no, then I think we should ask him why he says no.
I would suspect that it's because it's the staff's decision.
Well, it's our decision, but he can add his input. I mean, I would guess he would add his input.
Some other universities.
We've done that. I think we just have to make a decision for ourselves, whether it be a small one, a big one. So, next meeting, we'll do that. Throw me your thoughts. I'll put the choices out there, and we'll vote, and that's it.
So is this a resolution? So next week we vote, or next meeting?
Would we need a resolution? No, we don't need a resolution.
Well, we need to vote on something.
Jason,
what are we voting?
Well,
on? Vote on a direction.
Yeah, if you're just voting on which direction we're going to officially go in, then that's just
probably
a regular motion. If we're actually working on a motion that's going to change the charter, that requires the previous meeting notice.
Okay. So, moving on, December 3rd meeting with President Gorton. So, other than talking to him about expansion, is there anything else we want to talk with him about? Any specific topic?
little strategic plan where we are with that? I mean, would that be within his purview? Or?
Yes, it would be in his purview. We can ask him. I know Mary talked to us. Were you here at our last meeting with Mary? But she talked to us a lot about the where we're going with the administrative streamlining.
Well, but that's the...
Slightly, yes, different.
The strategic plan is sort of the next step after all mm-hmm. those administrative steps. So,
I mean, I'm wondering how that's going to impact, if he has any ideas about how he would like that to impact staff. Numbers in terms of our work, in terms of our, I mean, is there actually, are they going to blend, you know, contracts and endowed? What is that, what would that mean?
They are budgetarily.
Yeah. So I just wondered about the implications for, you know, for us as employees.
Sure. I will add that to the list. Mm-hmm. Anything else?
I think we should thank them for doing this nice job at the thing, but then looking ahead, I think we should ask him if he can make an announcement of something, like at the next employee assembly event. And we're making an ask now. We have no idea what it is. But we have, but when we're trying to get people there, we can pitch it as Gordon to make an announcement on blank. And so he's using it not only for, like, you know, you're all wonderful, I love you, but there's actually like something of substance there. And you know how those guys operate. They need several months out to get someplace. And then if Opperman's sitting here, he'll say, you know, Mary, can we make it happen? And then it's on their radar instead of us asking like in July or something. So
are you talking about the next time that he comes to one of our meetings or the next
next fall.
Oh, next fall.
Yeah.
Okay.
And use that forum to not only do the basic stuff and be there, but also to announce something. It'd be a good place to announce it, so it's staff related.
Mm-hmm.
In retrospect, if we'd asked him to announce something last week, what would it?
I have no clue. I mean,
you
could
make up something.
Yeah, I mean, there could be the creation of a new program at the Public Service Center that gets staff involved. That encourages staff to be involved in community activities. It could be anything. I mean, we could noodle about him, like, you know, what that might look like, but it should be staff specific. And you've got a menu to choose from. I mean, I think that there's tons of stuff. It doesn't have to be a major announcement, it's just sort of like putting a little extra cachet to the event. I mean, I think it's wonderful that it's Schwartz. I think it should be there forever. It's just a nice place to be, and Tanya especially just did a fantastic job managing that.
However, we have gotten a lot of complaints about how far it is, about where the location is.
How many?
Well, I personally got three.
Okay.
So.
Yeah, my staff did something where they were going to go, and they changed their mind at the last minute.
Yeah.
Too far.
Is it possible for a family to host it?
Maybe you can get the Statler to not charge.
Yeah. See, that's the whole thing.
It's expensive. That's the problem.
But we charge.
Yeah, the Statler is charging.
No, not the hotel, no. Okay, the school charges.
Yeah.
Oh, okay.
pull some strings.
So if you could do something about that.
Because it's not a class.
It's about, I don't know, like your aunt and dad.
Yeah, that's about it. Yeah.
Yeah, and our budget's like $1,200 for the whole event. So...
So, you know, just to counter that, I've heard a couple dozen people say, I'm so glad mm-hmm. we're here. I've never been inside of here. This is great.
Well, I mean, I personally think it's great, but,
yeah.
Yeah.
It is a difficult location.
Why is that?
Huh?
Why?
I mean, just in terms of the location, the hill, I mean, it's ADA.
It's a bus.
I mean, there's a limited amount of buses. I mean, Statler is a nice area. If you think about it in terms of location,
well, I think
because
yeah.
it's completely ADA accessible. The location is easy, it's on every bus route. Unlike, you might have to make a transfer theoretically. If you're coming from North Campus, you might have to get on this bus and you're going to have to transfer to move down to the 10. I mean, it is kind of off campus. I mean, you know, it's on campus.
It's by the law school.
All right, guys. In interest of saving time, we can discuss the transportation issues and locations for the president's address in the future. Just very quickly, report from the chair. We had the leadership breakfast this morning with Steve Schuster, which was really wonderful, and they're going to be introducing a new he talked about the IT changes that are happening, but they also talked very briefly about this new Cornell webpage called My Cornell. So be looking for that. That'll be coming out in the spring.
Did he say that? I don't remember hearing of time.
Sometime soon, but it's going to kind of replace uPortal as a tool. And also, if you have a smartphone, if you put in mobile.cornell.edu, Cornell has a new mobile app, and you can check it out and give
M.
What?
M.cornell.edu, unless they register both.
He said mobile.
Oh, okay.
So, check that out. And then the one last thing that I had is the Transportation Advisory Committee is looking for staff members. We need two people. It does not have to be someone from the EA, but if you know of anyone who is interested in being on the Transportation Advisory Committee, they meet the third Wednesday of every month from 2 to 3. Here in Day Hall, they're meeting today.
And what types of issues do they discuss?
This year, their primary focus is they're talking about Dave Leeds said that this is an important year for transportation, that they're examining transportation management permits and schemes on campus.
Mm-hmm.
So that is something that will significantly impact staff, as it will change parking potentially for folks. And today they're talking about, for the item of the day, priority parking assignment based on status. Apparently a staff member was advised that parking assignments on campus are made based on status, i.e. tenured faculty have priority over staff in determining whether parking is available, even if you're willing to pay for the parking.
That's true.
So, is that true?
Yeah, it's true.
So,
does that person who sent that email want to be on the committee?
Ed Strong, who's chair of the committee,
is
the one who sent
else.
The email. But he didn't say who this person is, but they brought that in there. So, if anybody is interested or knows someone who's interested, please let me know. I'm going to be trying to drum up two people. And again, they don't have to be from the EA, so share the wealth.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. And I just want to thank everyone for all their hard work on the President's Address to staff, mm-hmm. particularly Leslie and Gemma and Beth, who were the committee to put everything together. And hopefully we'll have some numbers soon about the impact of our United Way partnership, but they thought that they got a lot of donations at the event.
We're up to 10.2% of university participation, and the goal is 20%.
So very quickly, if we can look at the meeting minutes. Very quickly.
Who's announcing the prize winners?
I'm going to let you know who they are, and I will contact them individually.
Okay.
And you can put out in the newsletter.
Yep. Yeah.
Okay. I know this is going to come as a surprise, but I do have a couple of people.
Really?
I know. It's shocking. Well, Jenna was here, and she wasn't here, according to the notes.
Oh, I was here on the phone.
Right, but you also were absent. And technically those things are both true, but a little bit. And then it says also sending Stephen on.
Mm-hmm. He's back, right?
Right, but we don't usually list first names. So nobody else has their first name. So you are the beneficiary of having your first name listed. Yes, it's spelled correctly.
What else you have, Leslie?
The rest of it's not worth it.
Okay.
On the last the last page, who did the second for the motion? Who seconded it? I don't know.
I don't remember. I think a bunch of people did.
Yeah.
Everyone.
Paul.
I can check and see if we have it later. You want me to make one up?
Sure.
Put Stephen on it.
He's a troublemaker. Any other changes to the minutes?
Just a little typo. Second page, one of the third paragraph. It says, a trade-off between university and the term is at hand. I'm sorry. It wasn't a typo.
A Rito.
Is there a motion to approve the minutes?
I motion to approve the minutes.
Daily seconded. All in favor?
Aye. Aye.
Excellent. Quickly to committee reports. Linda. Linda.
Okay. Do you want me to give a few different committee reports?
Yeah. Well, you've got sustainability. You got personnel.
Yeah. Well, personnel, we haven't had much movement on. We also have the emergency care grant, which we've been moving along. And Beth actually just created a document, a kind of a what we call it, a plan summary kind of. And so we're working on that, and we do have one person. I don't think we've officially gotten the application. The kind of neat news around that is that we had about six people from around campus contact us about this one situation, which means that people still are aware that the grant exists. So we've been waiting, and we haven't gotten an application from the person, but it was definitely a qualifying event situation. So I think we're pretty close to having that, and once we get the plan document written approved, then we'll share it here at the meeting. Sustainability, I'm the rep on the UA Sustainability Committee, and I'm also on the President's Sustainable Campus Committee. So it's kind of a nice tie-in because something from that other committee came over into the UA Sustainability Committee, which was a resolution on coming up with kind of a one imagery for sustainability across campus because there's so many different groups that are doing so many different things, and it would be coming up with one image that we would ask all those groups to consider using to kind of have a common thread. And we voted on it, and it was approved through the subcommittee. So that not the actual image itself, but the going forward with coming up with one. And the other thing that we talked about was, and I think this is kind of neat, is the university has just agreed to go on with what's called the STARS process, where we get evaluated on several different criteria of sustainability. And the piece that I think is most relevant to mention here, and we had a whole review of it at the committee meeting, was STARS is looking at sustainability not just in greening, but sustainability in terms of employee sustainability. So they're looking at what we're doing to keep employees engaged, what we're doing to develop and grow our employees. So that's kind of a neat thing, is that we're now looking at broadening that definition of sustainability to include the people piece of it. So I think that piece will be something that we'll want to keep our eye on as we go forward. And it's one of the topics we talked about at the UA meeting is, do we want to broaden our definition of sustainability? Because the UA Sustainability Committee really currently has been focusing on kind of greening efforts. So that'll be a later topic of discussion. In a nutshell, what we talked about.
Thank you. Haley, do you have anything
else? I'm going to try to get the petitions committee in the next.
Leslie?
Yes, we're going to have a meeting week after next. I'm just waiting to hear when room availability is, so we can get that scheduled. And do you know if the listserv is ready to go? I sent names to the, because I just went ahead and made
should
sure.
Automatically load, but I'll check.
Okay. Sure. Well, because I don't know if all the people that converted me actually were named.
Oh, did they think?
Okay. So they're what they were supposed to do. So I just sent them on to you guys saying that the person is on the committee. I will probably most likely next week be working on the E8 e-news, so if anybody has anything for that, I've been kind of taking notes as I go along, so if you have anything particular you would like to include, please send it to me. We'll shoot for that to go out in the first week of December, probably. I think that's it.
Good question. I saw a Facebook ad for the president's address to staff.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Did you have something to do with that?
Well, Amy actually did it, so...
Cool.
That's really cool.
Yeah.
You like it?
Yeah.
You all saw it.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I mean,
$70 well spent.
All right. Oh, really? Wow.
Yeah, it was about a 200,000 impressions.
That's
wow.
Good.
Do you know how many actually clicked on it? Or?
I can tell you. Give me a minute.
You can come back to me.
Well, actually, back to the committee report. Last year, we started working on a survey that we're going to send out
to employees. Do you have all that documentation, you know, David?
I can look.
Yeah, so okay. If you could just forward that stuff to me, because I think we can continue working on that.
Okay.
The university had its own survey making tool, and then that got discontinued.
We still do, yeah. So I'll try to be using that.
I tried it. It's really
nice.
Easy.
It is.
Really nice. Yeah.
So I'm
kind of
hoping
committee will volunteer to do that.
For the newsletter, will you have the link to President Horton's address?
On Cornell Cash.
Do we know when it's going up?
It's already up.
Okay.
It was up on Monday. Tommy Bruce had it on his phone.
Really hard to search for it then on Cornell Cast.
It's on their webpage, on the Cornell homepage.
Yeah, I went to the Cornell Cast, the actual, their subsection, and I searched for it just last night. I couldn't find the 2010.
That's not
good. The 9 and the 8, but not the 2010. So.
And that, will that come up on our website, too? Does it go up on the EA website?
Yeah, we can do it. Did you want a quick rundown on Facebook?
No.
Okay.
Beth, do you want to update us, or do you want to push to next meeting? Can people stay for another 10 minutes?
I can do a 1-minute update.
Go for it.
Just because I'm so excited to give an update. I guess I'd like to say that 1 year from now is when people who want to run to become the employee elected trustee have to start getting their act together. So if any of you are interested, let me know. Quick, Board of Trustees committee meetings. With the Buildings and Property Committee that I'm on, most of the projects are on the state side. There are many renovations. The projects that are going on right now, you probably know, Barton Hall, roof is being renovated, North MVR, Plantations Welcome Center, the roof of Savage Hall, A.D. White, the bridges, the foundry that fell into the gorge, Milstein Hall, the rowing building, and the utilities project. The next big thing is that by the next Board of Trustees meetings, we're going to vote on the bridges. There are architects working on several designs, and anyway, the Board of Trustees has to vote on approving those before they go forward. Let me just skip. There's a lot in the meeting about the medical college, because we're like one with the medical college as far as the Board of Trustees is concerned. And so there's a lot of discussion around that I don't pay that much attention to, but it's important. let's see. Anything else? Nothing. I think that I really need to tell you, except that the focus of the last big board meeting was all about new faculty hires. So if you listen to the state of the university address, which is slightly different than the one he did for us, first of all, he talked front and center about the staff, and I thought it was fantastic. And then he moved on into the faculty. But the idea is that there's going to be a lot of people retiring, a lot of faculty retiring over the next 5 to 10 years, and we're hiring hundreds of faculty. And when faculty get hired, it means that we hire support people to support them, which is the staff. And so that was kind of good news, but that's happening along with all the other changes. And I think hearing that number of hundreds of faculty really made me think, wow, they're dead serious about this. Because we haven't hired any faculty. It's been like nobody in a year, and now we have to double up. Investment report. Our investments are doing very well. I know I've used up my minutes, but we had a good year. The investment office beat the national average, or the indicators that they go against. And they talked a little bit about a new financial aid match policy, so if any of you know people who are applying to Cornell or have kids, it might make a difference. But look that up, because they're matching some of the other IB's financial aid packages. So I'm going to stop there. And if you have any questions, you can ask me.
Thank you, Jeff. So just one last thing, and then we'll adjourn for the day. But when we did the notice about the president's address, we included language in there about you know, accessibility, and we got some very nice feedback from Lynette's office and Erin.
No, from Erin wrote it. From Kathy Fahey, who's the director of the Disability and Support Services.
Just thanking us for being inclusive. So I would just encourage us to continue to do that on anything that we put out there for events, and you know, in your home departments when you're doing events, just think about that, because it was really appreciated by a lot of people. All right, we have no time for anything else.
No.
Oh, go.
Really, really quick. I know I mentioned this to you, but at the president's address, that woman stood up and talked about the greenhouse. Apparently, there's a greenhouse up in McHale that's supposedly slated to be demolished. Do we want to get involved in that? Is that our place?
A done deal already.
They've
been contacting me. This guy named Ed has been contacting me, and he sent me a resolution. I'm like,
the major part is the plant material is not. They're just putting it in another spot. So,
but the building is definitely
going. Definitely going. So they can't do anything with that.
So just leave the building.
Yeah.
Okay.
Put the plant.
The plant. They're moving the plant.
The Liberty High Valley.
Yeah.
They're going to be building a new structure, right?
That's not confirmed.
One of the ideas.
Their response to that effect, and so the plants are being moved to a new facility?
Yeah.
I would say, their understanding that the plants are being moved to a new facility.
If you have questions. Mm-hmm.
There was an article in yesterday's Daily Times about it.
That
would probably provide you good information that you could use.
Okay, Chronicle, too.
And Reimagining Cornell and our Facebook page.
Okay.
Well, are we meeting December 1st and 3rd?
Yes.
Both? Okay.
General.
Motion to adjourn.
Second.
I'm ready now to see Michelle Ardaby, just to see what we've got written up.
This has been a production of Cornell University. On the web at cornell.edu.